Linda and Harper Audio Australia present this unabridged recording of The Fossil Hunter, written by Tia Cooper and read by Sophie Loughran. This book is dedicated to my oldest friends, henceforth to be known as the Fossil Girls, Vanessa, Carla, Jane and Annie. Where has the time gone? 1. Wollumbi, New South Wales, Australia, 1847.
It's blood, bad blood, that's causing it. A new pinafore and some education ain't going to change nothing. Still the same soul tucked beneath. You can teach a wild dog to come when it's called, but you wouldn't turn your back, not once it's bloodied.
Melly sat hot and cross-legged on the dirt of the scullery floor, wedged between the washboard and the mangle, hands over her ears, trying to block out Cook's words. Quite why she kept finding herself on the edge of the mill pond at sunrise, with nothing for company but a blanket of mist and the cries of the curlews, she didn't understand. Twisting this way and that, she plucked at her soggy nightgown, searching for the bad blood Cook kept ranting about. No sign of any stains on her skin or her nightgown, bad or otherwise.
Why does she keep going down there? That's what I'd like to know.
Fanny pushed up her sleeves and threw another bundle of kindling under the main copper.
Only thing a scullery maid needs worry about is how to clean. Get to it. She ought to have learnt her lesson by now. She's drawn to the place.
Cook's beady eyes skewered Melly.
If you keep going down there, you'll be taken. Small, plain and bony or large, round and plump. He don't care, so long as he gets tender young flesh.
Melly crawled closer to the copper and rubbed at the goosebumps on her arms. The more she tried to remember how she ended up at the mill pond, the more the nothingness grew, as though someone had singed a great hole in her memory. She tried to explain that she didn't do it on purpose, didn't know how she'd got there. But Cook never believed a word, called it a flight of fancy, whatever that might be.
Did you hear what I said?
Cook reefed Melly to her feet and gave her a bone-rattling shake.
You'll be taken.
Taken? Where?
Melly's words squeaked, high-pitched and quivering.
To his lair. He'll drag you down into the murky depths and...
Cook clapped her hands.
Gone.
The loud, horrible slap bounced off the weatherboard walls.
Never to be seen again.
Melly stuck her fingers in her ears and crawled back into the corner.
You can't say that,
Fanny hissed.
It's not true. True enough, if it keeps her out of the mill pond, saves her drowning.
Cook reached under the mangle and hauled Melly out of her hidey hole.
Come on, Missy. Go and get yourself dressed, then bring that gown back here. It needs to go in the copper.
All Melly wanted was to go home. But there was no home. They'd burnt all her clothes, all the furniture, the bedding, everything in the little slab cottage down by the brook, and she still couldn't get a straight answer from Mrs. Pearson, or anyone else, about Dar. She stomped through the kitchen to the sleepout. The last thing she remembered before the fever got her was running through the bush, dogged by crashing footsteps, sweat blinding her eyes, her heart galloping. She dodged and weaved. Then her feet went out from under her and her lungs filled with a gut-wrenching stench. Damp and rancid, with an underlying stink of mouldering sludge. She made it back home before the fever took hold, and then life became a horrible, sweaty, itchy blur. Until 2 weeks later, when she'd woken in the sleep out with Mrs. Pearson daubing a foul, chalky lotion all over her. Turned out, she'd caught the pox, the wretched chicken pox, though how she'd managed that, she'd no idea. The chickens had gone long ago into the blank hole of nothing.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?